I will sing of my Redeemer. Number 31. There's a brother, Jim Johnson, known to a few here, on board ship, Navy guy, young man. He came in, he put his bag down on the bed, and oops, a New Testament fell out of it. And the guy in the bed beside him said, "Hey, Johnson, you Christian?" He was silent. He'd never confessed Christ before in his life. The guy said, "Hey, Johnson, are you a Christian?" Oh, this is going to be tough now, because he had a sense in his soul, if he denied Christ to this man, he's lost. "What's the matter, Johnson? Can't you talk?" He said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." His grandma taught him that when he was a little boy. He was in Happy Fellowship in Kirkland for many years. "I know that my Redeemer liveth." Number 31, "I will sing of my Redeemer." Could someone start that, please?
Thank you.
Shall we pray? Our gracious God, our loving Father, we can now address Thee directly through Thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We honor Thee, our God, for Him. We bless Thee for our Savior, the Redeemer. Now help us as we open Thy precious word and give illustrations and verses, thoughts we trust are from on high. And just bring blessing to hearts tonight. How wonderful it would be if it could be said there were some children saved tonight. And so we ask Thee for help, our God, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our loving Savior. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4. I understand at the tent meetings, if you don't open your Bible and read a verse within the first 30 seconds or a minute, they start waving at you. Here we are. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The Word of God. What we have in our hands tonight is the Word of God. It's living, it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. That's where the blood is made. What kind of blood do you have tonight? Piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, if you could please imagine in your mind with me tonight a little story. Let's just put forth a little story here. You're on a trip with your family, and you're going through a large city. It's night, it's midnight, and you notice your gas gauge is getting low, and so your GPS isn't quite working like it should, and so you peel off the freeway because you think there's a gas station over there, but there isn't. Pretty soon you lose track of north and south because it's sort of foggy, and you're down a back street, and you make another turn, and you make a few more mistakes, and you end up driving around seemingly in circles. Streetlights are busted out, and roads are getting tough, and buildings boarded up, and so on, and here you are. It quits. Out of gas. So you sit there with your family, and you ponder what's going to happen. So, you look through the fog and the mist, and you see a door open and a light, and you see maybe five big men walk out that door with something in their hand. You say to yourself, oh no, what next? What next? 2 o'clock in the morning. As those men approach you, fear comes in your heart. But what they have in their hand is the Word of God. They're having a late-night Bible study. Would that bring comfort to your heart? If you could hear them singing in harmony as they walk towards you, in the cross of Christ thy glory, towering over the wrecks of time, wouldn't that be a wonderful experience? You'd give those men your billfold, actually, you know. Well, the Word of God is powerful. It's powerful. I'm going to take out a tract just for an illustration's sake. I'm going to give it to this brother. As I understand it, in North Korea, if I'd have done that, that would have cost me my life. That would have cost my wife her life. 3 generations excluded. That's real. That's serious. What does the Word of God mean to you? You've got it on your shelf, probably a couple of copies. When you put a Bible under your arm and you have the little ribbon hanging out there that's underneath each arm. You're walking along like this in a crowd. You feel the power of the Word of God. Men, they stop cussing. Stop telling dirty jokes. It's a powerful book we have, children. And it came as a great cost to God to give that book to you. There was a man over there in North Korea that had his Bible, but he had it hidden away in a bird nest. And I believe I think I got this right. I don't think I saw it in a Sunday school paper. I think I saw it in the Wall Street Journal. I believe I did. He had his Bible hidden in a bird nest out in a tree. Someone discovered it. That man disappeared to three generations. What does the Word of God mean to you? What does the gospel mean to you? I'm going to take something a little out of step here. You know that the Apostle Paul said, it's my gospel. He had a dispensation committed to him. And it was wonderful. He owed it to the people. He wanted to bring it to the people. He called it my gospel. Can you call it my gospel? Does it mean something to you? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Does it mean anything to you? We're not going to use political correctness tonight because we're going to touch your conscience. That's what political correctness is all about. It isn't about this or that. It's about don't touch my conscience. This country is headed in that direction. Other countries are there or past that stage. There will come a time in this building that the Bible will not be allowed to be read and no one will be able to stand up and say, you're a lost sinner on the way to hell. That's the direction it's going. Now the believers may be out of here and there may be another gospel preached, the gospel of the kingdom, but that's the direction it's going. Don't exercise my conscience. You know, when someone says, what do you think about evolution? The way you answer that is with five words. What sin are you entertaining? That's what it's all about. Don't you dare put me in touch with this God you're talking about. Nothing to do with him. Just north of Seattle, there's a little place called Mount Vernon. And there's a McDonald's hamburger stand. And you drive through like that, and here's a young woman there, and you say to her, do you know where you're going when you leave this world? She says, no, and I'm good with that. Sovereignty and responsibility. The sovereignty of God puts you in a Christian home. The sovereignty of God probably puts you in this chair. It did put you in this chair where you're sitting tonight. And now there's such a thing as responsibility. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There's no good news coming from heaven tonight for this world, apart from the gospel of the grace of God. Can you say that's my gospel? I need it. I want it. I enjoy thinking about it. It's mine. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. Are you ashamed of it? I'll tell you a little story. At my desk, sitting there, two young boys came through the door. I think they were about 13 or 14. They had their box of candies. I mentioned this in another place. Bear with me. They had their box of candies, and they were going to sell these candies and go to camp with the money that they make. And so they had these little Costco, probably a buck and a quarter boxes they were selling for $6. Yeah, that's true. Way out of line. And so, yeah, I bought one because I like chocolate and so on. Then I said, I got a question for you boys. If you were standing at the gate of heaven and God were to say, how can I let you come into my heaven? What would you tell him? This young man, he said, as if he'd said it at every stop that he made, he said, God came down to earth, wrapped himself in human flesh. He went to the cross and he died for my sins. He picked up his Skittles and he walked out the door. I was amazed. I was amazed. I said, that boy looked like he was living with a moment-by-moment gospel on his lips and Christ in his heart. Wasn't that beautiful? Another lady said, what do you think of the Lord Jesus? Oh, sweet Jesus. Another man, if you were standing at the gate of heaven and God were to say to you, how can I let you come into my heaven? You're a sinner like Dave sitting at the desk there. He says, Jesus is my resume. I thought that was interesting. God has set it up in such a way that Christ is everything. That's why I hope we end the meeting tonight, if we do get that privilege. Christ is everything. I'm going to quote a few verses here, and then we're going to take up something from a very, very ancient book. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You've had the message already. As a young man sat in our Sunday school, he moved. I heard 2 hours ago that he's dead. Maybe 20 years old now, something like that. He died. His name was Samuel. Christian mommy and daddy. He's dead. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If he's given you Christ and he has him offered to you tonight, you have all things right there. That's the answer to every question a heart could ever have. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It's being justified by faith and is freely by grace. Aren't those beautiful verses of Scripture? Yes, indeed they are. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, it's the cross of Calvary where that wonderful transaction took place. God's beloved Son offered himself without spot to God. That was where he shed his precious blood. That place was where the most hideous crime was ever committed. That place is where, is where the warmest heart that ever beat was pierced with a sword. So now, there's a full and a free salvation offered to any and all who simply reach out by faith and take it. Isn't that wonderful? It's placed on a perfectly righteous basis because Christ Jesus paid the price at the cross. Now, Brother Don Rule's message was wonderful. Brother Don Lamb's was wonderful, encouraging. What I think about Brother Lamb's message was just so encouraging to me. He talked about that old preacher whose son was giving the gospel in another place and reported back that three souls were saved that night on the son's preaching. His father said, "Son, you know, what did you tell him?" He said, "I just told him the gospel, how to be saved." And that's what we would like to do tonight. And I've already given you a half a dozen verses whereby if you reach out by simple faith, you can have salvation free. Absolutely free. I said that to a Roman priest one time. He needed some paint for his motor scooter. He said, "Well, how much is that?" I said, "It's free. It's absolutely free." I said, "Have you ever heard anything like that before, like the gospel is free?" He said, "Yes, I've heard that." So, you have a book in your hand, children. There's no book like it in all the world. It takes you from a past eternity through this space of time here and on into eternity future. And during this span of time here, God is working out his counsels. And it says in Zechariah, it says he's going to bear the glory and the counsel is a counsel of peace between them both. Between God the Father and God the Son, there was a council of peace. And it mainly had to do with the glorification of his Son and a bride for his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Another way to acquire glory. He has glories. And then there are acquired glories. Get those CDs and MP3s. Children, learn about those glories. They're beautiful. Yes, the glory and the honor will go to Christ. The Lord Jesus said in Isaiah, pictured there, "Here am I. Who shall I send? Here am I, send me." The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. God loves to reveal his secrets to his servants, the prophets. And then there's another verse that says, Psalm 25:14. Says, "The secret of the Lord," and this has to do with faith. The secret of, that's verse 14, Psalm 25:14, "The secret of the Lord," oh, he has some wonderful and beautiful secrets. And now they have been brought out, and that's the Old Testament reading here, they've been brought out new in the fullness, in their beauty, and it's found in a person. That person is my Savior. I'm going to ask you one question at the end of this talk this evening. Just one. In the book of Job, perhaps the oldest section of Scripture, maybe even the oldest book ever written, would you like to hear what God says about himself and about the way of salvation and about eternal judgment? You know, Job, he was a wonderful man. He He didn't like evil, and he feared God. He feared God above many. He was a wealthy man. That was a blessing for folks back in those days. He was a blessed man. The blessings were earthly. And God tells us some marvelous things in the book of Job. I have already quoted to you one verse from the book of Job, and that was, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." I'll read you just a little bit in the first part of Job. The man, Job 1, verse 1. "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." We'll stop there and we'll go over to the 38th chapter, please. Job, he had a pretty high esteem of himself. And so God in his wisdom, he was a good man, better than those around him. But still God had to deal with him in an unusual way. And so there's several, 40 chapters or more here that talk about God's dealings with this man. And it brought him down to a place where Job says, "I've heard of thee with thy ears, seen thee with mine eyes, and I repent in dust and ashes." Dust is where he came from, the ground. Ashes, that's all that's left after that pride and all had been burned away. Dust and ashes. Now, Brother Rule gave us some thoughts about Earth's earliest ages and God's purposes to bring man into blessing and to bring man near. Notice how the brother said that, near to himself. I love that. That's the heart of God in motion. Job 38, please. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, and I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy." Other places in Scripture, it says he stretched out the heavens. You know, in the last maybe 100, 150 years, they've discovered something. Scientists with their telescopes. You know what they discovered? God stretched out the heavens. Expanding universe. It says it several times. And it tells us that this great circle of the earth, different things, is just so thrilling to read. But we're going to read a little bit about Earth's earliest ages here and see if we can't, with the help of the Spirit of God, to see the heart of God in all this. All right. He laid the cornerstone. Morning stars sang. Sons of God shouted for joy. What are they shouting about? Did they get in on this eternal purpose somehow? When the Father and the Son had this plan of redemption for mankind and a bride for the Lord Jesus. Some of you people would like to be married. And it's been a long time since anything exciting's happened, and you kind of get worried, don't you? You know something? Just lean on the Lord, and I'll tell you why. You may never be married, but you'll be missing nothing for all eternity. Nothing compared to what we have here. This is just a little while. But to be the bride of Christ forever? Job's asked the question, did you have anything to do with the founding of this world? You know, men, they're discussing back and forth about the origin of creation and so on. Well, here you have the morning stars singing together and the sons of God shouting for joy. Yes, there's joy in heaven. And on earth, there's joy sometimes and there's sorrow sometimes. But in hell, it's eternal sorrow. He made the cloud, verse 9, a garment thereof, and thick darkness, a swaddling band. What is a swaddling band for? It's for a little baby. You wrap a little baby in a swaddling band. There you have earth's earliest ages. And then we find out, verse 10, he break it up. Okay, verse 9, when I made the cloud, the garment thereof, and the thick darkness had swaddling band for it, and break up it for my decreed place, and set bars and doors. There's a decreed place. You know something the earth was covered with? Well, let's read it. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. There you have it. Job's talking about that. And then there was a time when those waters come no further. Stop. And the dry land appears. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day spring to know his place? Oh, the day spring on high has visited this world. Yes, he has. The Lord Jesus came down into this world. Amazing fact. Amazing fact. Yes, the day spring, he knows his place. Bethlehem's manger. Just might say, we're getting around to that time of year when crowds and crowds of people are getting ready to celebrate the birthday of their judge. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day spring to know his place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? Yes, Satan had his business going before Adam and Eve, and he brought sin into the creation, didn't he? And so the Lord Jesus, he came into the world. It says in the first chapter of John's Gospel, Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's not only your sins, if you'll have him. But there's coming a day when all taint of sin shall be removed and all evil done away. And you and I that believe in the Lord Jesus will dwell with God's beloved in God's eternal day. Beautiful. Now, he talks about wicked being shaken out of the earth. He's going to deal with all that. Verse 14 is a tough one for me. Is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. A seal is something you stamp down into clay. Well, apparently God made the Grand Canyon, say, right? Remember how the Colorado River came and it cut down through that, made that deep canyon? Oh, really? If you look at your geography, you'll find out that the beginning of the Colorado River is lower than the rim of the Grand Canyon. So therefore, the water would have had to flow uphill for quite a ways. No, we don't know a lot. We really know nothing. Water doesn't flow uphill. It'd have to do something against nature. All right. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea? Verse 16, hast thou entered into the springs of the sea? You know something? the Lord Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane. He went into the deeps, the deeps. All thy waves and thy billows gone over me. Yes, the Garden of Gethsemane, where he cried, may this cup pass from me. And nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. My soul is exceeding sorrowful. You know those verses. They touch your heart, don't they? My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. It's pictured in Jonah. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the ocean deeps. Then it says, the gates of death. This is how eternal redemption was wrought in the counsels of God to bring you, poor, guilty, hell-deserving sinner, into eternal favor and blessing, the Creator God, a companion for his Son. It says, have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Job? No. No. The Lord Jesus, he knew when he came down into this world, he set his face like a flint to go where? To Jerusalem. He had a baptism there to be baptized with, and how he was straightened till it was accomplished, and accomplished it was. Yes, there was strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him. Did the Lord save him out of death and resurrection? Yes, because of his piety. That's our Savior. The cross of Christ, O glorious tree, what place can be compared with thee, where God's own Son was crucified? There for us, a ransom died. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by, it says, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Yes, those waters, how we put it, maybe a hymn writer put it, how deep. None of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, how dark was the night that our Lord broke through to save the sheep that was lost. Are you lost? Oops, I was going to save that question until the end of the meeting. But I'll ask it anyway. Are you lost? Yes, you were born lost. And what's more than that? It's like this. A mama sheep, she strays away from the fold. Somehow she gets through the fence and on she goes over hill and dale, over hill and dale, around, and she's pretty soon she's lost. While she's out there, she has a little baby lamb. Is that lamb born lost? Yes, it is. We are a lost race of people. And that's exactly who the Lord is looking for. If you come as one that is not lost, God has nothing for you. You need to come as lost. You know, there was a woman. She wanted a blessing. She wasn't a Jew. And she said, Lord, help me. And the Lord said, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. She knew she was a Gentile. God had in mind Israel for blessing. She said the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She was a little dog. She got the blessing, didn't she? Mephibosheth. Let's talk about him for a minute. The brother brought him up in his message. And what a story that is. Here's a man, he came from a lineage. He was an enemy of, or Saul's grandson, wasn't it? Jonathan's son. David, out of the goodness of his heart, says, "Any left of the house of Saul, that I may show him the kindness of God unto him for Jonathan's sake." Yeah, there is. There's a guy by the name of Mephibosheth. He's over in Lodibar. Fetch him. Wow, what a word that is. Oh, I love that word. Fetch him. That's the sovereign grace of God. Fetch him. And underline that in your Bible. Fetch him. Beautiful. They went and they got him. And they brought him in his lameness to the table of David. And it says four times over, he ate at David's table continually. And if someone came along and said, "Mephibosheth, who do you think you are?" You know what he'd have told them? "I'm a dead dog." That's what he said. "I'm a dead dog." Now, if someone says, "Who do you think you are?" That's putting it on the basis of merit. There's no merit. The fact that you're at his table, if someone says, "Who do you think you are?" That's putting it on the basis of merit. No, put it on the basis of fetch. I like that. He pick you up and put you at his table. Rejoice in the sovereignty of God. Don't fight it. Then there was another man. He said, "I'm not a dog. You're trying to make me out to be a dog." His name was Goliath. He died. Now we're up to this beautiful verse, John 3:16, and that's Job 38:18. What do you see there? "Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth?" Oh, God so loved the world. He went through death. He was raised again by the power of God because of his piety, who he was. And now he has a salvation to offer. And the brothers have brought it up meeting earlier, last night, your brother Don. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." We'll go on. "Where is the way where light dwelleth?" Oh, the Lord Jesus came down into the world. He said, "I am the light of the world. You walk in me, you won't walk in darkness. You'll have the light of life." That was the true light which cometh, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I believe that's John chapter 1 and verse 9. I have quite a few verses to go here, and it just becomes, it's beautiful to my soul how that this little section of the Word of God sandwiched in very carefully into God's Word way back there. "Now the light of the wicked shall be put out. Where is the way where light dwelleth?" Well, that's here. The Lord Jesus came into this world, the light of the world. And now, darkness, where is that place? Well, this world is darkness. It's a place of darkness. Men love darkness. Oh, they love darkness. When they broke into my shop 4 weeks ago tonight, the first thing they did was they took a black rattle can and they covered the windows with black overspray. Shh. Why? So they could steal our tools. Well, where is the end place of darkness? Oh, children. "That thou shouldst take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldst know the paths to the house thereof." Don't go there. because there's a full and a free salvation for you tonight. Take Christ. There's no other answer for you. There's no other answer. That's God's remedy for sin. Take Christ as your Savior. Bow your knee. Isaiah said, every knee shall bow. Philippians, every knee should bow. Revelation, every knee has bowed. Every knee shall bow. Every knee should bow. You know, they ought to bow. Look what he did for them. Look what he did for them. All right, I got to keep moving here. Where are we at? Verse 22, hast thou entered into the treasure? Oh, there's so much in here. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Oh, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Children, go through this world with a good conscience. Start your married life with a good conscience. Come to know Christ as your Savior and have every last stain of sin washed away. Whiter than snow. And then he says, the treasures of the hail. You know, men treasure up to themselves judgment against the day of judgment with their wickedness. God has something treasured up for you, sinner friend. If you don't take Christ as your Savior, the treasures of the hail. Revelation talks about hail. Judgment day, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war. Yes, there's a time of Jacob's trouble coming. We see it on the horizon. God is faithful. He has told us. And now it's up to us to just believe it. There's a time of trouble coming. You can see it every day. My father-in-law gets the Wall Street Journal. What a mess this world is in. Every day, more and more trouble spiraling down into the depths of trouble. Chaos, that's what's ensuing, coming up against the day of battle and war. Yes, he has a controversy not only with Zion, he has a controversy with the United States of America because they've had so much light. Light has been poured out on this country and it's rejected. And what does it bring? Night. By what way is the light parted? I must hurry. By what way is the light parted? Where did we go? We parted this world. We departed. The Lord took us home, the believers. And then what happens? Scattereth the east wind. That was the wind that came down on the Red Sea. It was the east wind. It's a judgment wind. And he scatters it on the earth. Yes, that's what's going to happen. And then we must close. He causeth it to rain on the earth. Now, if you look in the 37th chapter, there's three reasons he brings rain. He causeth it to, in verse 13, he causeth it to come whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. Well, here I believe it's the rod in the margin. It says the rod. I believe here it's the rod of correction. You know, God has a lot of cleaning up to do. I'm going to speak respectfully, and please don't take it wrong. He is the great janitor. He's going to mop it up. All this sin and the corruption and the cheating and the lying, it's got to be mopped up. Cause it to rain on the earth where no man is. It's going to narrow things down to where there's so few, it'll be hard to find a man. Why? Because of rebellion against God. Now, this verse is so beautiful. Look at this. To satisfy the desolate and the waste ground, verse 27. Oh, there are those that destroy the earth. There are those that defile the earth. But he's going to bring in this great cleansing, and it's going to be to cleanse this earth. Now there's coming a time, a millennial time, when there will still be sin, but if a man exercises it, he will be taken out. It's not that way today. This is the day of grace. God lets a man curse. I was talking to a man. He was using bad language all the time. I tried to preach the gospel. He said, Christ. It was just part of his conversation. It was a surprise. He used the name Christ. Awful. No, this all has to be cleaned up. Now, to satisfy the desolate and the waste ground, to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth. Oh my, think of that root out of a dry ground. Now, moist. And that tender herb, the Lord Jesus in blessing to this earth. Oh, he shall come down like showers on the new mown grass. Joy and hope like flowers spring up where he doth pass. Let's look at Psalm 72. We've got to close this meeting. This is so beautiful. Children, I will read some of it quickly. It says in the 72nd Psalm, the mountains shall bring, verse 3, shall bring peace to the people, little hills by righteousness. He'll judge the poor. He'll save the children of the needy. He'll break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass and showers that water the earth. There's the blessing. In his days shall the righteous flourish. An abundance of peace, so long as the moon endureth, he shall have dominion from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. Verse 11, yea, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him. Verse 13, he shall spare the poor. Verse 14, redeem their soul. He shall live. To him shall be given the gold of Sheba. Now, verse 16, there shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like the grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. They said, when shall he die and his name perish? His name is going to endure forever. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended because there's nothing left to pray for. Christ has his place. Christ has his place. The counsels and purposes have now been, with the exception of the eternal state, fulfilled. Christ has given his very highest place on earth and in heaven. Christ is all and in all. Christ is everything. And then for that eternal day, all sin is removed. Every taint of sin is removed. No more sorrow, no more crying, no more deception. All of that is passed away. Christ is the joy of God's heart, and he has his bride right next to him for all eternity. Oh, that's grace. That's wonderful grace. Have you reached out and said, Lord Jesus, with thy precious blood, save my guilty soul. Bow your knee. Man was there in the office. He was a proud man. He was a pilot. He told me this himself. He said, I went in my bedroom knowing that I needed to get right with God. And I knew I had to get down on my knees and confess Christ as my Savior, as a poor, lost, guilty sinner. I got in my bedroom and I got one knee down on the ground, down the floor. The other knee wouldn't go down. Pride. Is there pride keeping you? What's keeping you from taking the Savior? He loves you. He grabbed that knee with his hands and he jammed that other knee down into the ground. He got saved that day. How wonderful. You can be saved just by a look of faith. A look of faith. No, the sky is not going to break open. angels singing, you won't hear that. But in God, your name, heaven, your name is written down in God's book of life. Let's pray. Our God, our Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We just bless thee for thy word. We think of how that it explains everything to us, poor creatures. It brings us in such a near and blessed position, our God, having forgiven you all trespasses. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for Calvary. We think of how that we should have spent more time tonight thinking about the awful time there that thou didst have to spend there on that those 3 hours of darkness, those the wrath of God meted out against sin. Father, we pray for these children. If there's any 7-year-old here tonight, oh God, an 8-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 4 or 5-year-old, 6-year-old, Lord Jesus, save their souls and do it for Jesus' sake. Amen.